This is Skip Etheridge. I'm going to share a story with you all today. And here a few months back, it was back in April, I wrote a little story on Facebook. I shared a memory from the past of a good friend of mine, Jim Hillsman, and I've gotten several responses for people to tell me, for me to tell another story, and some to record it where they could listen to it. So we're going to try something new today. We're going to put this on a YouTube, and you'll be able to listen to it that way. And so this story is back in the early 80s, early to mid-80s. I don't remember the exact years. Good friend of mine, Jimmy Stevenson, lifelong friend, and Rick Randolph. We're planning a deer hunting trip down to Raymondville, Missouri. And I've got good friends down there, Eddie Evans and Bill Getz. And we were going down there to go deer hunting. So there was a lot of preparation that went into this hunt. And we were going down for a week. And we decided to take a tent. Now, Jimmy borrowed a tent from a guy named Willard Majors up in Blue Springs. And it's an outfitter tent. It'll sleep, I don't know how many. It's like an apartment. I mean, it's huge. And so we decided we're going to take this big tent. We're going to set up camp in that thing. We're going to live in that dude for a week. But it's November. We're thinking, okay, it could get a little cool. So we devised a plan. And I talked to my dad. His name's Lloyd Etheridge. And he built us a wood stove for that thing. We'd found plan. I don't know who found the plans for this thing, but you build a wood stove, and the pipe for the stove run through the bottom. You had to dig you a trench, lay your stove pipe in there, and cover it up with dirt, then laid your tent over the top of that. The tent had no floor, just roof and the sides. And so it was a dirt floor. And back in those days, let me say this. First of all, I've been so blessed in my life to have lifelong friends. And I think that I have took this for granted for so many years, and I've had people mention to me, man, I don't know anybody from back when I was a kid or in my young adulthood that I could still call friend today. I don't even know where they're at. And I've been blessed with several. Jimmy Stevenson, Rick Randolph, Jimmy Affalter, Danny Ferguson. The list goes on. Several. And so Rick Randolph, he was the very first person. We moved into this area that we live now, that I've lived since I was 8 years old. He was the very first kid that I met when we came to Green Valley School. The principal, Mrs. Matthews, took me into the classroom, and she called Rick, and she said, this is Rick Randolph. She introduced me as Henry, and she pointed her finger at me and pointed at Rick, and she told me, you stay with that boy right there all day. He'll show you everything you need to know, and his mom drives the school bus that you'll be riding. And from that day forth, a friendship was born. And has lasted till Rick went to be with the Lord here a few years ago. I met Jimmy Stevenson there, and Jimmy Affalter, Danny Ferguson, all in third grade, fourth grade. I've been friends ever since. So what a blessing that has been. And I thank the Lord for those friendships. And if you have friends that you've known all your life, you are blessed. Don't take it for granted. Thank the Lord for it. But anyway, so back in those days, everything that we did involved alcohol. So there was a lot of planning, beer drinking, and putting things together for this hunting trip. We met down at my shop in Green Valley, and we built that stove. My dad put some time. He got all the stuff for us and done the welding and everything. He did all the work. It's a nice stove. And so there's when you grow up with these guys, there's so many stories. It's just an endless supply of stories when you have lifelong friendships like this. And it's nice to look back at these stories and share with other people. And I get a chuckle out of most of these that I share. And I'll share one. I'm going to interrupt the story that I'm in to share another story. Rick, for so many years, well, his whole time here that I've known him in my life, he was always looking for a way to make a quick buck. And he did pretty good. Rick was one of these guys that he just had the knack of things working out, okay? But anyway, he decided this time, this one year, he was going to sell Christmas trees. And he got a place up in Blue Springs off of Wood Chapels Road and an Outer Belt Road on the north side of I-70, right off the interstate, Christmas tree lot. And I had a camper that he borrowed to put up there for his office. And me and Jimmy Affalter were out running around one night drinking beer, and we decide we'd go up and see our buddy Rick at the Christmas tree stand. Well, we get there, he's not there. Place is closed up, and it's right before Christmas, so I don't know what he was doing. Probably out doing the same thing we were, just somewhere else. But we were getting ready to leave, and we seen a note he put on the side of the camper, on the door. And I don't remember what it said word for word, but basically is, I'm watching you from the trees. Don't mess with my stand. You know, don't steal anything. Don't mess with anything. You're being watched from the trees. And we get the laugh, and we're about to roll. Well, that was the open invitation for us to do something to our friend. That note right there triggered the whole thing. It's all Rick's fault. We loaded up the back of my truck with Christmas trees. We're taking them down to Grain Valley and Blue Springs. We're going to give them away to people. We fill the back of that pickup full of Christmas trees, and we're going down I-70. We're just laughing and having a hoot of a time and popping a top one right after another. We get to Grain Valley to deliver our first tree. It's the middle of the night. It's dark. There's nothing in the back of the truck. We lost every one of those trees between Blue Springs and Grain Valley. So we turn around and we get us some rope. And we go back and we get us another load. And we tie this one down. We come back and we deliver those trees all around to different people. And the next day comes and Rick runs us down. He's hot. And we denied it. We denied it. He was doing something. I forget now what he was doing. Oh, he was going to his Christmas tree stand. And he's going along. And every so often, I'd see a Christmas tree laying in the medium or off on the side of the road. And he was thinking, boy, somebody lost their load of trees. But he gets up to his Christmas tree stand. He finds out that those trees are all his. So he goes back and he gathers up most of them that fell off, except for the ones that we made it back with and gave away. And he hit us up about it, and we denied it. I mean, we lied our way out of this. And I don't know how he got the notion. I don't know if one of us planted the seed or whatever, but he thought another guy done it. And we just let him go on thinking that for 30-some years. And 30-some years later, after we had all come back to serving the Lord, we all knew the Lord as we were kids. I was fortunate enough to have been brought up in a home where we went to church and knew about God, and Rick as well, and Jimmy. They went to church here in Grain Valley. But as, you know, time went on, as we got older and stuff, we drifted away like so many do. And for 30 years, Rick thought this other guy had done it. And so, finally, one morning I come clean with him and told him the truth. He said, "You are kidding me. For all this time, I thought so and so done. I won't mention the guy's name. But he got a chuckle. I mean, you know, we can look back and laugh now. At that time, I could see, now looking back, Jimmy and I thought it was hilarious, but he had a lot of money invested in that, and we were wrong for doing that. And I think he about regained everything he might have lost, except for the ones that we gave away. But 30 years, whenever he would think about that, he would think about this guy, and so many times he wanted to get even with him, and he just didn't. It didn't work out, praise the Lord. So, but anyway, there's just story after story like that that I could tell, and I may tell some more. We'll see how this goes. But there's just story after story that I could tell that included the four of us, the five, Danny Ferguson, all that group, Brother Cricket. There's just story after story that I could share. And what a wealth of memories that I have. And I thank God for it. So back to the story. We were getting ready for this trip, all right? We get everything together that we need. And I thought, you know, me and my dad, we had been talking about buying a new chainsaw. Because my dad at that time cut, he heated with wood, and I heated my shop with wood. So everything we had was a little run down. So we were talking about it, and he says, tell you what, if you go get it, I knew what I wanted. Brand new steel chainsaw, 20-inch bar. I'll go halves on it with you. I said, okay. So I thought this is a good time to get that saw because we'll need wood down there at camp, down there at deer camp, for our campfire and our stove in the tent. So I went, bought that new chainsaw. Man, it had never been used. I fired it up at home, and it ran. But I never used it, never cut one stick of wood with it. So the day finally come. We are ready to go on our big deer hunt. And we leave. We all had to work that day. And so we left right after work. So it was dark all the way down there. And it's about a four-hour drive down there, four and a half from where we live. And probably a case and a half, 2 cases of beer is what it took. I'm not promoting drinking driving. I'm just telling you that's the way we done things back then. So we rolled back. We drive into the night and get down there. Matter of fact, I think we waited till. No, I'm sorry. I'm lying to you here. We did not leave in the middle of the night. We get down there. We left in the daytime. I'm sorry, we left in the daytime about midday, and we got down there right before dark. And it had rained. You'll see what a blessing this rain had been here in just a minute. This rain had been going for about a week, and the woods were soaked, and we were way back in the timber. This area that we're hunting was in the middle of a timber company. I think a paper mill company owned this land. There's thousands of acres back in there. And so we go down this logging road. We find our spot. We knew where we were going, and we put this tent up. And we get the tent put up, our cots put up in there, all our gear put in there, our food. We'd stopped at the grocery store in Houston, Missouri, and bought our groceries. And, of course, we hit the liquor store, stocked up our coolers, and we got everything put in the tent, and thought, well, we better build us a fire. Well, remember when I said the stovepipe was supposed to be buried? Well, we all had just had enough beer. We didn't feel like digging no trench in that old hard Ozark dirt between the tree roots and the rocks. I looked around there. I blamed this on Rick, too, for years. I made him think that it was his idea. But I'll take the blame for it. There was a big old hollow log, about 4 foot long, 3 to 4 foot long, and it was between the hole and the outside of the log was a good 8, 10 inches. And that hole was perfectly round and just big enough for that stovepipe to fit through. I said, hey, boys, looky here. It took all three of us to move it over there. We lifted the corner of the tent up and set it back down on that log, packed it in tight around there where there's not much air coming through, and we run that stovepipe through that hollow log. Now, it'd been raining all week. That thing was soaking wet, okay? So we run that stovepipe through there, run the stovepipe up, got our wire out and wired it off to a couple of trees there, would stand up straight. We build our fire in the tent. It's getting nice and toasty, and everything's great, all right? So we walk outside, and with just a little bit of light left, we decide we're going to go look where we're going to deer hunt. The next morning was opening day of deer season. So Rick, he says, I'm just going to walk down this logging road right from the camp. And Jimmy and I, we're going to go the next logging road over. We're going over to the next ridge. So we turn around and get in the pickup, and I drive all the way back out to the gravel road, down to where the next ridge cuts back in, and down this logging road. We're perfectly even just about with our camp, but on the next ridge over. And we go in there, and we kind of spot it out, and Jimmy's like, I'm going to go down here, and I'm like, I'm going to go down there. We'll park the truck right here. About the time we hear, I mean, it's getting dark. We hear kapow, 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 gunshots. And I look at Jimmy, and I said, boy, some idiot is really sighting his deer rifle in awful late. It's dark. Night before deer season, and he's waited this long to sight that deer rifle in. We just laughed, grabbed us another beer, and back to camp we go. But we turned down the logging road to where our camp was, and we see in the headlights, we go a little ways, I see Rick walking toward us, and Rick, he's got his arms out, and he's just holding them out, and he's just shaking his head. And he stops right in front of the truck, and he just spins around. He's got his arms up in the air. He's saying something. I don't know what he's saying. Get out of the truck, and if anybody listening to this story ever knew Rick Randolph very long, you've heard him at one point or another. Rick, even when none of us were living for the Lord, Rick didn't have a foul mouth on him like I did and like Jimmy did, and he didn't use the words like we did. He didn't talk like we did. Every once in a while, one would slip out. But usually, most usually, the worst it got for Rick Randolph was, oh, gosh, oh, gosh. And he's just walking in circles with his arms, oh, gosh, oh, gosh. I'm thinking, what in the world? I said, Rick, what's wrong? The camp, the tent. I go, what's wrong with the tent? He goes, it's burned up. Like, what? He says, it's burned up. So he jumps to the back of the truck. We start driving toward camp, and we pull up, and I'll never forget this sight till the day I die. I will never forget this sight. The ground is black and a perfect square where that tent was. And just some rubble in there, burnt-up cots. And that wood stove is standing there with smoke coming out of the chimney still. We get out and we walk up there, and I said, okay. Now, Rick, he was one of these guys that he would like to cook and stuff like that at camp. So I figured, and I accused him of it. I said, what'd you do, go in there and get to cooking and spill some grease or something and catch a place? He said, man, I just walked up here, and it was like that. And about that time, Rick looks down, and he's going, my gun, and his barrel, the wood stock was gone. The barrel of his gun, he reaches down and grabs that, and you could hear the flesh burning. The gun barrel was red hot. You could hear the gun barrel burning into his skin, and he hollered, and he threw it out in the timber. And he says, man, I didn't do nothing. So I know what happened. That stovepipe going through that hollow log that was soaking wet with water caught a fire and burnt that whole tent down. And so for years, we got to talking about it later, and me and Jimmy Stevens both told Rick, it was your idea to use that hollow log. So we let him think that for a long time, too, but it was my idea. And I turned around, and them guys lost everything. Now, Jimmy had Jimmy's gun and my gun was in my pickup. Rick's was in the tent, so it burned up. But all their clothes and everything, and my clothes too, but I had a big metal box. And I had all my clothes, my sleeping bag and everything. I had it in there. And all my stuff was good. I smelled like a campfire, but all my stuff was still good. But they lost everything. So we decided, well, we made sure the fire was out. Now you see why I was thankful that it had rained all week, or we'd have burnt that whole countryside down. So we decided, well, we're just going to have to go home. So we head back into Raymondville. We stopped at Eddie's, and I think Bill was there. I don't remember. I think Bill Getz was there. We said that we were going to have to go home. Told them about the fire, and they begged us not to go, and said, we got guns, and I tell you what we'll do. They used to close the mill down. I don't know if they still do or not, but they used to close the mill down for gun deer season. So Eddie says, you guys go into Walmart, go into Houston there, and get whatever you need. Time you get back, we're going to set some cots up in the office of the sawmill down there. So him and Bill and whoever went down there and set us up camp inside the sawmill in the office, put some cots up, and there was a wood stove in there, and that's where we were for that week. And so we went into Walmart and got our stuff, and we come back, and we stayed in the one of them had a gun that Rick could use, and so we stayed there. We decided to stay, make the best of it. And we actually, that night, even though there was quite a loss, you know, we'd lost that guy's tent. And my chainsaw, I don't know if I mentioned this a while ago or not, but have you ever been at a weenie roast or a campfire and somebody throw a can of pop or something in the fire, it just melts that aluminum can? That's what my brand new chainsaw looked like. I was sick over that. But we finally laughed about it that night. We were kind of on edge of everything. We finally got a laugh out of it. And I'll tell you, we've got a lot of mileage out of it over the years, laughing and looking back at that story. You know, before we go any farther, a couple of things I wanted to add. You know, I told you we heard gunshots going off. Well, that's what brought Rick back toward the tent. He heard gunshots going off up by our camp, and when he got up there, he realized it was the ammunition for our deer rifles going off, going pow, pow, pow. Just wanted somebody to get hit by a stray bullet. And the next thing I wanted to add, you remember that my dad and I was going halves on a chainsaw, and he told me to go get it, and he would pay me his half after I picked it up. Well, I called him and says, hey, hate to tell you this. I said, our chainsaw got burned up in a fire. I told him the story, and I said, yeah, you should have seen our chainsaw. And he stopped me. He says, what do you mean, our chainsaw? Our partnership on that didn't include fire damage, I guess. So anyway, I just wanted to throw those two in there. Add to the story, the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say. I'm going to get to the good part here in a minute. Here's another funny part. We go out deer hunting that morning. And Rick, I don't know how many times he shot. He shot, I don't know how many times that a deer missed it. Jimmy and I didn't see anything. Man, it was a cold, nasty morning. So we hunted till, I don't know, 8 or 9 o'clock. And we'd come into town, into Raymondville, and there's a little cafe there. I don't remember the name of it. I think it's still there. But we decided to go in and eat breakfast. And boy, I tell you, I don't know how word travels so fast, but we were in there eating breakfast. Of course, it's open in morning to deer hunters, or open morning to deer season, so the place is full of deer hunters. And orange vests, orange hats, and hunting clothes, and guys in there telling their stories. We're over there eating our breakfast. And right beside us, this table, this old boy turns around and says, "You guys doing any good this morning?" "No, we didn't have any luck today. Maybe this evening." He goes, "Yeah, we didn't either." He says, "Hey, did you hear about the idiots from up by Kansas City come down here and burned their whole camp down last night?" We all looked at him, and we went, "No kidding," and went right back to eating. There was no way I was going to say, "Yeah, that was us." And so we've got a lot of laughs over that over the years. And we ended up coming home without any deer, but, boy, we had a time. And the memories that we had and the memories that we shared with each other throughout the years, what a blessing it's been. And Bill Getz, when I told that last story about Jim Hillsman, Bill messaged me and said, "Tell the story about the campfire." So, Bill Getz, this one's for you, buddy. And there might be more stories to come later. But I said all that, and I told this story to get right here where I'm at right now. Now, here's the good part. I thank God for those memories. When I look back at that time in history and time in my life, there's so many things I look back on and I wish that I never had done. There's some horrible things in my past. But this particular story that I tell you about, even though none of us were living for the Lord, and everything we did included alcohol, I believe those type of memories are still a blessing. We'll look back and look at those friendships. We wasn't hurting anybody. We were good boys. We just weren't saved. We were still sinners. The good part is that I look back and all the people I mentioned in this story today, my lifelong friends, Jimmy, both Jimmys, Danny Ferguson, myself, Rick is with the Lord right now. Every one of us are living for the Lord. My mom, and I'm sure of the other moms, I know Danny's mom, and I'm sure the other moms prayed as well for us boys. But I know for a fact, I'm just talking about what I know for a fact. I know for a fact that my mom and Danny's mom did. Their prayers were answered. And I'm glad that my mom got to see it all. She got to see everybody get saved, everybody come to the Lord, except Jimmy Stevenson. He come to the Lord after she had went to be with the Lord. But like I said, I said all that. I told all this story today to get to where I'm at. I thank God for the memories, but also think that I don't live in that place anymore. I look back at those stories, and as I go down the road at night sometime, I look back at some of the things we used to do, and I just got to shake my head and laugh. And I thank God for the memories, okay? But I'm going to read a scripture here. And like I said, we weren't bad people. We were just lost. We were just not living for the Lord. And, you know, the most important thing of our life is not so much the memories that we create here while we're here. It's not so much what's behind us. It's just what's in front of us and where we're going when we leave this world, because we all are going to leave this world at some point. I'm going to read some scripture here for you tonight, and I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's the good part right there. When we accept Him, our past, those memories and things that I've told you about that I wished I'd never happened, those things are past. Those things are erased. They're gone forever. I'm a new creation. Romans chapter 6, verses 6 says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. The old man here is our pre-conversion, before we were saved and before we come to Christ. And we're no longer, sin has no domain over us. The body of sin is our outer body. It doesn't mean our spirit. It's the sin nature. That's gone. It's taken from us. We're new creation. It means done away with. So every bad thing that I've ever done or you've ever done has been done away with. It's erased. And I can stand before you today and know that my sins are forgiven when that trumpet sounds. If I live to when the rapture happens, which I believe we're close, I believe we're very close. But if it doesn't, if something happens and I pass before then, I know where I'm going. I know where I will spend an eternity today. I know that as I'm talking to you, as sure as you're hearing my voice, I'm sure that I'm going to be with the Lord when that day does come. I look back and I've mentioned it several times today that I thank God for the memories and the lifelong friendships and the new friendships, Bill Getz and Eddie Evans and that bunch down at Raymondville, Missouri, in Houston, Missouri. Haven't seen them for a few years, but this close friendships and relationships and like a brotherhood. I think a lot of those guys down there, they've always treated me good, treated me like family. I believe I'm talking to somebody today, that someone will listen to this and you'll think back of your life. And We have to accept Jesus into our heart, to do away with the old man, to become a new creation. Through the crucifixion of Christ's burial and His resurrection, we've been set free from the slavery of sin and made alive, victorious in the Spirit. Our old sinful life was crucified and buried with Jesus. We now have His power that it works in us to resist wrong behavior by grace. And the power of the Holy Spirit, we are free to live our lives in holiness, give our lives daily to worship to God, and be transformed in our thinking. Praise the Lord. I wouldn't trade those memories for nothing. I'm blessed to be able to tell you that story today, and I hope that you are blessed by it. You got a laugh out of it. Of the things that's going on in this world today, we all can use a laugh here and there, I do believe. I hope that story's blessed you, and I just want to shout out to Jimmy and Affalter and Jimmy Stevenson and Danny Ferguson. Like I say, Brother Rick's gone on to be with the Lord. I just want to shout out to those guys, Bill Getz and Eddie Evans. If you guys listen to this, I hope you do. But before we go any farther, we're going to give anybody that's listening to this at a later date, tonight or at a later date, the opportunity to accept the Lord, to put the past behind you, to do away with the old man. And it's so simple, it's a change of heart. You ask Jesus into your heart. If you're sincere tonight, we're going to walk you through the process how to do that. I'm going to say a simple prayer. You know, Jesus made it so simple. But we have to mean it in our heart. You can say this prayer all night long, and if you're not sincere, it doesn't mean anything. But one day, the Bible tells us we'll all stand before Him, and every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And so it's best to do it while we're here. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just telling you the truth, that we need to make things right this side of eternity. No one can pray you into heaven. You can't buy your way into heaven. You have to set Jesus into your heart. So if you're serious tonight and you're ready to make a change, you can't say this prayer and go back to living like you were. There has to be change in your heart. So if you're sincere tonight, follow along. It goes something like this. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I come before you tonight, today, whatever the case may be, and I recognize I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I ask Jesus to come into my life to forgive me of all my sins and everything I've said, did, or thought wrong. I ask Jesus to lead and guide and direct me throughout my life. I thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It's that simple if you're sincere. It doesn't stop there. It's just the beginning. The next is a process of a relationship between Jesus Christ and getting to know Him. Spending time with Him. Surround yourself with good, solid believers. Tell somebody what you've done. We'd love to hear from you. This message has spoke to you in any way. You accepted Jesus today. We would love to hear from you. We got a Bible for you and some literature to help you in your new walk with the Lord. Maybe you didn't say the prayer, but you got some questions. You just need to talk to someone. In either case, you can give us a call or a text at 816-729-6649. Also, find you a good Bible-believing church. And if you don't have one, we can help you try to find one. Be glad to do that. If you want to know more about us, go to our website, extendedhandsofgod.org. All our contact information is there. Also, you can download our free mobile app, all our sermons, testimonies, our schedules updated daily. This story will be on there. And you can feel free to, there's a spot on there, you can download those and you can share them, make copies, whatever you want to do, and share them with other people. We're going to close with a song today, and I believe I'm going to close with this song. This was my mom's favorite song. It's called In the Garden. Had the privilege of recording it after she had passed. But this is one of her favorite songs, and she, like I said, she prayed for us boys to all come to the Lord, and her prayers are answered. And I just this song here, I just thought I would do in honor of her. Thank you for joining us here at Extended Hands of God Highway Ministries, and God bless.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear calling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. With me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound hand. He walks with me and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I stay in the garden with him while the night around me is falling, but he bids me go with a voice of woe. His voice to me, his calling, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. It's a joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.